We spoke of the mitzvah of tefillin, which is one of the most important mitzvot that is found in the Torah.
There's one mitzvah that the Torah compares to Shabbat. Just as Shabbat is the symbol of faith in Hashem, that's on Shabbat, seventh day. Tefillin is the symbol of a person's faith in Hashem during the 6 days of the week. A person who does not put on tefillin means that he is revolting against the king. The king has given him his symbol, his crown to wear, and he rejects it. That means this person is a traitor to the king. So one who does not wear tefillin is called an apikodes, and this person cannot receive Olam Haba, the innocent. Then the Gemara tells us that tefillin should be worn with a pure mind and with a clean body, pure body and mind. The Gemara gives us as an example a man named Elisha Baal Kenafayim, Elisha, the master of wings. The Gemara says, why was he called the master of wings? Because one time the Roman government issued a decree that any person, any Jew who puts on tefillin on his head will have a hole bored through his head. The decree was that any person putting on tefillin will have a hole bored through his head at the point, the spot where the tefillin showed or a place. Elisha Baal Kenafayim was a tzaddik who wore tefillin all day, and therefore there were times that he had to go outside and he did not remove the tefillin. He'd go right into the marketplace, the center, wearing this tefillin in defiance of the Romans. This meant, of course, if he's caught, it's death. One day he walked out to the marketplace, and a Roman officer saw him. He chased him. He ran after him. When he caught up to him, Elisha Baal Kenafayim removed the tefillin from his head. He held them in his hands. He cupped his hands over them. When the Roman officer asked him, "What do you have?" he said, "I have the wings of a dove in my hand." And he said, "Open your hand." He opened it, and there were the wings of a dove. A miracle happened. This is why he is called Elisha Baal Kenafayim, Elisha, the master of the wings. Because of the fact that he was so strict in performing this mitzvah, he deserved a miracle to happen to him. Yemeda says, why did he choose, did he select these words? A miracle happened. He could say anything else. He has an egg in his hand. Anything. Why did he say the wings of a dove? Because he knew that the Jews, the Jewish nation, are compared to a dove. The dove is a bird that stands for holiness. The dove is the bird that Noah sent out that reported dry land. The dove is a messenger of peace. The dove is the symbol of the Jews because the wings of the dove protect the dove, uses its wings for protection. Every other bird fights with its beak or with its claws. The dove, when attacked, strikes at its attacker with its wings. Also, the protects a dove at times when it must travel. And it's tired, the dove flies with one wing while the other wing rests, and then it alternates. Just as the wings of a dove protect the dove, so do the mitzvot of the Jews protect the Jews. Therefore, the mitzvah of tefillin so great that it was comparable to the wings of a dove were protecting Elisha Baal Kenafayim from death. This is the mitzvah of tefillin. And yet, the Gemara says elsewhere that we find this mitzvah of tefillin is somehow either ignored or discounted by an alarming percentage of Jews. For instance, the mitzvah of tefillin should certainly be considered as important as mitzvah of Brit Milah. Yet we find that all Jews, practically all Jews, without exception, will never dream of missing out on the mitzvah of Brit Milah. Mitzvah of tefillin, we find a sad number of Jews who ignore this mitzvah, go without tefillin. Why is this? Because any mitzvah which is accepted with simcha, which was something with simcha originally, that remained. If there was no simcha, then it didn't have that mazal. In addition, the Gemara says that tefillin was harmed
by the fact that it was defiled. If something happens to a mitzvah where some wrong harm comes of it, it affects the entire nation, chas v'shalom. Gemara tells that at one time, thieves, liars, frauds, would use tefillin as part of their acts of crime. There was one man, a rich man, who lent someone a large sum of money. But as he placed this large sum with him for safekeeping, a time later he asked him for the money, and this person denied the fact that it was given to him. He brought him to court, and the person still denied it. The man said, "The fact is, I did not lend you the money. I did not give the money to you. I gave it to the tefillin you were wearing. I saw you wearing tefillin, and I thought you must be an honest person. I see now that the tefillin you wore were only to act that it served as a mask, as a pretense of being a religious and honest person. Therefore, this mitzvah became lax in the eyes of many others because of this incident." So that the Gemara warns now that a person should know the extent of the importance of the mitzvah of tefillin. It is the basis, the foundation, the origin of the Jewish faith. A Jew must have two witnesses to testify at all times that he is a Jew. The one witness is the Brit Milah. At all times, he must have a second witness. Second ought, symbol, a witness, is 7 days a week. 6 days it is in the Svav Tefillin. This is his testimony to the fact that he is a Jew. On the seventh day, the ought is Shabbat. On holidays, Chagim, any Jewish holiday, major Jewish holiday, they are also called a symbol and a witness. Therefore, when there is a Jewish holiday, we do not wear tefillin, because we then have a symbol which acts as the second witness. Not only that, but the holiday stands as a higher level of ought of symbol. Therefore, that we do not wear tefillin, but it is forbidden to wear tefillin at that time. There's a big controversy, as you know, on Chol HaMoed, the immediate days of Pesach and Sukkot, where the Ashkenazim, because of Safek, wear tefillin without a beracha. The Sephardim, not the Sephardim, meaning the Syrians, but Nusach Sephard, or the Hasidim too, do not wear tefillin because Rabbi Shmuel ben Yechayezal and the Zohar Kadosh warns, any person wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed is Hayab Mita. It's a death penalty for it. Thus, this shows the person does not consider the holiday as being equivalent to the crown of Hashem. Tefillin is the crown of Hashem. The holiday is the crown of Hashem. He rejects the original crown of Hashem and the holiday and puts on the tefillin, which is only a symbol of the crown. This means that he is rejecting and violating his loyalty to Hashem. And therefore, the penalty is death. Despite this, the Misnagdim, the great portion of those who follow the Shulchan Aruch Ramah, do wear tefillin and Chol HaMoed, but to cover themselves, they wear it as safek without a beracha. We, of course, follow the words of the Zohar Kadosh, the Ria Kadosh, the Rizal, all the Sefrei Hasidim, which state emphatically that tefillin are not to be worn on Chol HaMoed, as well as the holidays, because Chol HaMoed, too, is called an ot, a symbol, a testimony of the faith of a Jew. But aside from holidays, every single day of a person's life, he should never miss out on the mitzvah of tefillin. Person, no matter how poor he is, no matter how little he can afford, his first requirement is, the first dollar he has, is to spend it on tefillin, to be particular about the mitzvah, to see that tefillin are kosher to the fullest extent. This is called beautifying a mitzvah, beautifying the name of Hashem, which he carries upon it, on his arm next to his heart, and on his head next to the brain, show that his faith in Hashem is complete. One final statement. The Gemara tells us that there was a case of a man, Bar Minan, his wife passed away, and she left a son, small infant, who required nursing. This man was so poor, he could not hire a woman to nurse a child. He was in a predicament. Without the child being nursed, the child would die. In those days, they did not have the formulas or food that could be man-made for a child. A child had to be nursed, and there was no alternative. This child's life was in jeopardy. A miracle happened, and suddenly the man found himself able to nurse the child himself. This was a clear miracle. The Rebbe says, let's analyze this case. One rabbi says, Rabbi Yosef says, how great was this man that a miracle happened for him, a miracle that was completely contrary to nature. Rabbi Yeh said, the contrary, how low is this person that the entire order of creation, the order of creation in the beginning, Hashem created the world with the male and female species, two different types. The whole order of creation was changed for this man, how low this person is. Third rabbi says, let's see how difficult Parnassah is earning a living. How difficult the Parnassah is. The Rebbe says that Parnassah, the person, is as difficult as the miracle of dividing the waters of the Red Sea. How difficult this was, that a miracle had to happen. A miracle could have happened. The person would find money. He'd make a living. That's a small miracle, it would seem. It was easier from heaven to change the laws of nature, of creation itself, than for this person to be able to have a miracle at where he could find money or food for the child. Now, what was the reason that Abaye would say this person is so bad that a miracle happened to him? How will you ever find a miracle happens to a person who is bad? Only for a tzaddik is a miracle happened to change nature, contrary to nature. Why do we call this person poor, poor in greatness? The answer is, as we mentioned previously, that a form of shiur, the Gemara says that a person should never call upon a miracle to save himself. Never go to a place where there is definite danger, because the person's life might be forfeited. And even if a miracle does happen that would save his life, this miracle is very expensive because he uses up his credits. His mitzvot that he had done are used up for the sake of this miracle, which means he's left without mitzvot. Therefore, avoid miracles at all costs. But Leah said, this person was so poor, now, because a miracle happened, it cost him a fortune. How bad it was for this man that he had to use up the credits that he had in mitzvot to have so great a miracle happen to him that the laws of nature and creation should be changed for him. And Rabbi Yehuda explains why this was necessary, because any other miracle would be simple to perform. Parnassah is so difficult, that it's easier for this type of miracle to happen than for money to come to him easily. And that's why the Gemara says that the key to Parnassah is something that was never given to an angel even. Only Hashem himself holds this key. Person's livelihood, the person should pray very much to Hashem for Parnassah. The major tefillah of Parnassah is one pasuk in Ashrei. That's why the Rebbe says a person is Ashrei three times with Kavanah. He sees him on Abba, because then he has Parnassah without having to resort to miracles. That pasuk is Poteach et Yadecha Masbi'a Lecho Chai Netzon. This pasuk is so important that it's the only place in all the tefillah, aside from the Amidah, aside from the Kriyat Shema, where we find that if a person happened to have had his mind wander, he did not have Kavanah, is say that pasuk, and he must go back to repeat it again. This pasuk requires Kavanah while saying it. What pasuk poteh et kedechot v'yom chaylatzon in the Ashrei. The Rebbe says now again, similar to this case of a man who married a woman who was one-armed. She had one arm that was amputated, completely amputated. And he lived with her whole life. And when she passed away, he found out that she had only one arm. The Yemeda says, one rabbi says, that look at the degree of tzniut this woman had. She always kept herself completely clothed, completely dressed to the hilt, where it couldn't be recognized the fact that an arm was missing. A woman who goes dressed immodestly would have to be seen at one time or another, or often. This woman dressed so modestly continually that even an arm that was amputated cannot be detected by her own husband for so long a period of time. Rabbi Chiyas said, this is no sign of her tzniut. The contrary, this is the sign of the tzniut of her husband. The fact that he was so much of a tzenua, he never looked at women, even his own wife, he did not study that closely. He lived with her a whole life, didn't recognize the mum, the chisaron, the deficiency, the lack in his own wife. Here was a case of a tzaddik who had a wife, purpose of a wife, but never stared, never gazed that closely to detect this point during an entire lifetime. This controversy teaches us, of course, how the Yemeda stresses the mitzvah of tzniut, modesty, how great and important this is, and how a person can rise to the degree of tzaddik or tzaddiket by abiding by this mitzvah strictly, mitzvah of tzniut.